pray first. Go ahead, pray.
Okay, praise him.
Amen.
Thank you, Nicole.
Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless and we honor you this day, Lord Jesus, for an opportunity to gather in your name, to glorify you, to worship you, to sit at your feet, Lord, as you pour into us, Lord Jesus, from your word. We pray over Pastor Sandy today, Lord Jesus, that you will speak boldly through him. Show him, Lord Jesus, that which you have for your people, that he may share it as you have shared it with him, Father. We pray, Father, that you will cover him with your anointing, with your Holy Spirit, with your peace and your joy. Lord, we pray over Pastor Drea, as she is traveling, that you would give her safe travels, Lord Jesus. Keep her and minister to her where she is, Father, that she may be a ministry unto your kingdom. We bless and we praise you in all this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time.
Yes, he is.
All the time, God is good. Sound like Pastor James. I'll be Mr. James. Uh-huh. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am.
Don't worry about it, Pastor. Amen. Y'all disrupting Pastor Sandy. Y'all need to go and read.
Oh, Pastor Ben, this is for you from my wife. Are you guys having class?
Yes, sir. That's what
all I'm right.
Talking. Oh, she remembered.
She did.
Oh,
she did.
Her heart. She remembered.
That's what. You call it, what kind of sugar they call that?
That's monk fruit.
Monk fruit sugar. So, people can have sugar.
Sugar without having
sugar. Without having sugar and chemicals.
Yeah.
Because that other stuff is from chemicals.
Oh, she remembers.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
Everyone. Hey, you guys see your notes? You see those notes? Doesn't that look like advanced algebra class?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, my whole brain is just jacked up. This is what God has me doing, right? This is how God does. He like, I got to show you something. Then he breaks open an algebra class. And then I like, oh, okay. And then it's clear. So in all this math, if I had time to sit down with you and go over it step by step, over here, she needs notes or water. You need water?
Yeah.
Yes, good. She's like, I need some water. And so if I went through this step by step, you would see that what God did in his word. And the Lord has let me know, like, I'm going to keep showing you that you don't have much time, step by step, day by day, so that people know and understand that my desire is to take my bride out of the world and to be with my people and to finally get this thing started. Because you guys have to know, can't nothing get started till the church gets out of here. You understand?
Amen.
And the finishing and the wrapping up of the book of Revelation all begins with the church getting out of here.
Amen.
And so it's supposed to be very important to Christians, but it's not. And it's because the world becomes very important, and the world kind of sucks you in, you know? Even if you want to think about Jesus, they're like, what about them bills? You're like, okay, I had my bills. They're like, now I'm going to think about Jesus. What about them kids? I got to think about my kids. What about your job, you know? And you can have so much going on in your life that you forget, oh, I got to take time out for Jesus. And so, but God wants you to be very much focused on your relationship with him. And he wants you to be focused on also what he's doing and to be awake and aware of what's going on in the world, okay? I'm gonna kind of talk about the notes for a second. You see where it says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you guys know that God's a Trinity?
Yes.
Okay. No matter what goofball tells you that God's not a Trinity, it just goes, whatever, okay? Because God is a Trinity, he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit, okay? Which one is greater?
All three.
All three. Thank you. That was a trick question that I was going to get you. So The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Do you know there's scriptures in the Bible that says the Father created all things, and then there's a scripture that says the Holy Spirit created created all things, and then there's a scripture that says the Son created all things. So who created all things? The Father. Okay, the first scripture in the Bible, for God to look, no, I'm thinking of another. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's the second scripture? And the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the deep. And then what's the third scripture? And God said. So you have God, the Spirit, and the Word speaking. The first three verses. So every time God is trying to show people, I'm a Trinity, I made you as a Trinity, all you have to do is go look in the mirror and you'll know that I'm a Trinity, because you will look at yourself and you'll see three people, right? No, you won't. You'll see one person. But you know deep down inside that there's a spirit that lives in you, and you know you there's a soul that's inside of you because you have emotions. And you'll know that you have flesh that's basically going back to the ground, but it's still part of you, right? So you're a three-part being. You're made in the image of God. God made you a three-part being because he's a three-part being, okay? And so what is the numerical number for God, though? If you say the perfect number for God is what? Seven. You guys know that? God's number is seven. Everything in the Bible is based on seven, okay? So Trinity is three, seven is God. And so God uses the number 37, three and seven, or seven and three, and he uses it all through the Bible, and it's woven into the Bible like DNA in your body, okay? 37 is like, every scripture, God is like, it's got to be calculated by our name, by the Trinity and by the three and the seven. The Trinity and the perfect spiritual being, which is God, seven. So God does this. I'm going to show you that, what God did, and I hope I can do a good job, because when God gave me this, I was going, how am I going to explain this without putting people to sleep? And the Lord's like, well, just pray about it, and then I'll give you the way. Okay, now, inside of these notes is God doing exactly what he said he would do. You know what God said? He said, I tell you the end from the beginning. So God says, in the beginning, I already told you what's going to happen in the end. So God prophesies what he's going to do at the end, but he puts it all in the beginning. So if you want to know about end times, what do you need to study? Genesis. Somebody, nah, you can't study end times in Genesis. You got to go to the book of Revelation. No, that's if you want to know what happens at the end. But if you want to know what happens at the end before, you'd have to start in Genesis. And so I'm going to show you that concept, so because God is always showing what he's going to do, okay? And I'll give one example, and we're going to go to it later. What is the purpose of God creating all this stuff, vegetation, trees, everything, and then separating the waters of the earth and bringing half the waters above the clouds and leaving half the waters below the clouds? And then after he does that, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 6, it doesn't rain on the earth until the day of Noah. Do you understand that? It's like Noah, when Noah was telling people water was going to come out of the sky, it was like listening to a guy on crack, right? Like, really? Like, it's never rained. Like, 600 years Noah is alive, it has never once rained water out of the sky, okay? So, and for all the time before Noah, it had never rained. But God, in the beginning, took the waters, half the waters above the sky, and he left half the waters below the sky. So what is God trying to say? Waters, he says in the book of Revelation, when I'm thinking of waters, I'm talking about people, nations, languages. He's saying, so I'm going to take half of the people of the world above the clouds, and the people below, and the water below the clouds will not see the water that's above the clouds until judgment day. Because what was Noah? Judgment day. So when God raptures, he's taking the church where? Above the clouds. You're the water that's leaving. And guess what? The world won't see you again until when? They won't see a Christian again. Huh? Not a church member. They won't see a church member again until you come back down as the water coming back down from the cloud. So that means God told you the end in the beginning, but it's up to us to search out the matter. You understand? Because the scripture says that it's up to kings to search out. It's up to God. He says he's the God that hides a matter, but it's up to us to search it out, okay? Kings, royalty, which is what we are. So we'll get into that. But first, I want us to go to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ooh, I put on the wrong glasses. I was like, I can't see. Where am I? All right, when you get to Thessalonians chapter 5, say amen. 1 Thessalonians. Now it says, now brother, about the times and dates, we do not need you to write. Do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Which means what, basically? Unexpected, right? While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So he uses this example of a pregnant woman because God is going to birth his children out of the world. This is the whole thing about Jesus Christ being on the cross. And then Jesus Christ on the cross, in Psalms 22, he says, I'm a worm. And people don't understand he's talking about a specific worm that attaches himself to a piece of wood and then gives birth to its children. And then that particular worm spews out red over the eggs to protect them until they're born. So he was talking about a specific worm, and Jesus was saying, look, I am a worm, okay? And he says, I'm giving birth to my children. All of us are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of the living God, okay? So God has basically impregnated the world with many children. But the last of those children are going to be taken out at the rapture, okay? And remember, when it's time to have a child, can you wait? Can you be like, the baby's coming, let's wait till tomorrow? To see all the women laughed, all the guys are like, huh? It's impossible. So when the time comes, it's time to go, you understand? And God is birthing his children out of the world. And that day and that time is coming. And God wants you to know you're at that time, okay? Don't be like the rest of the world. Listen to the rest of what it's saying here. It says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness. Anybody here in darkness? Because if you need Christ, we can pray for you right now. So he says, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. So if you're in Christ, God says, this day should not surprise you. It should not. The rapture, when it happens, there should be no Christians that are shocked and surprised. Amen. You should know why you're going up. Amen. You should not have to explain it to anybody that's going up with you. Amen. They should be like, what happened? What, you didn't know? This was the plan of God from the very beginning. He's taking half the waters above the cloud. And when judgment day comes, he's coming back with us.
Yeah.
So we should know that, okay? So, he says, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled, okay? So God does not want you to be a sleep Christian.
Amen.
God does not want you to be a sleep Christian.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, you know stuff is going on.
Amen.
You've heard people talk about Jesus coming for years.
Amen.
So you know it's coming.
Amen.
And God says, you should not be asleep. You're not in darkness. You have Christ.
Yeah.
Stay awake and be alert that something is happening.
Amen.
Look at the news. It's like, people are like, oh, we're not supposed to know what's going on in the world. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You ain't got to watch all that junk, but I think when 9/11 happened, people, you needed to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All this stuff that's been going on since 2020, you need to know what these people are doing.
Yep. Amen.
Because God wants us to be alert as to what our enemy is doing. Because by our enemy's activity, you can sometimes tell, oh, we're getting toward the end.
Uh-huh. Amen.
The Lord said, now you can ignore, okay, that it's 2022. You can also ignore that the word tribulation in the Bible is mentioned 22 times. We are in the wheat harvest, and the word in Hebrew for wheat is 22. The word for harvest is 400, and 422 means salvation. You can ignore that it's the Hebrew year 5782, which 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 equals 22. You can ignore the fact that in Syria, Russia and Iran have military bases. If you read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, 39, it says Gog and Magog are going to attack Israel.
Yes.
And it says, and Persia is going to be with them. Who is Persia? Yeah.
Iran.
So why is Iran and Russia have military bases in Syria, which is just a rock's throw from Israel? So, but you're living in this day. You can ignore the fact that look at this. The new digital currency that could save the global economy by Steve Forbes. By Steve Forbes. So he says the new digital currency could save the world's global economy. What's a digital currency? That means that means now you can't use paper money anymore. Should that be a surprise to Christians? No, the Bible said it in 90 AD in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was finished 90 AD. So God said, oh, by the way, later, and when it comes, it's going to happen. Now watch this. Digital currency. Then it says Bill Gates, Microsoft is the central player in cryptocurrency patent number 060606. Bill Gates and patent WO 2020, that's the year was put in, 060606, news that matters, and then it begins to talk about the new digital currency notice what it said. They have the market on cryptocurrency. So rather it's Bitcoin or whatever, it has to go through Microsoft and this patent. So everything's gonna be under 060606. This came true in 2020. And so should we not be aware of it?
Should
we go, oh, well, you know, that's just them. You should be like, wait, some stuff's going on, okay? You got Gog and Magog and Persia sitting it next to Israel, and you got 666 currency, and you're supposed to like ignore everything that's going on and then still putting Jesus Christ on the back burner as if he means nothing? No, we should be like strapping up, getting ready to go, right? We should be aware of what's going on. I don't understand the scared Christian. Oh, when you talk about the rapture, scares me. So what? What about the rapture scares you? Unless you plan on staying here. But what I read about the rapture is that it's going to be an absolutely wonderful day. A matter of fact, when it happens, you can kiss Rent goodbye. That can just get you excited right there, right? Car note, what? All of that stuff, you're kissing everything goodbye and you're saying hello to eternity.
Yes.
When you get there, there'll be thousands upon thousands of angels standing around waiting for you to arrive. And you will sit down at a dinner plate that Christ has provided. Then he'll say, oh, by the way, here's your keys. And you're like, to what? I told you I was building you a place, girl. Did you read John 14? I told you in my Father's house are many mansions. And somebody wrote room. It does not say room. It says manners.
Yes.
And if you need a manner to work in a butler to work in a manor, right?
Yes.
So he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I am going there to prepare a place for you.
Right.
So there's nothing about the rapture that should scare you. And if you're living for Christ, you should be excited and waiting for that day and opportunity to come.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See this stuff here. Okay. We're going to talk about, let me see if the Lord wanted me to stop there. I'm sorry, because he had me read the whole thing and then I stopped. Okay, here we go. It says, verse 4, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. Putting on faith and love as breastplates and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. You hear that?
Yes.
For God has not appointed you to suffer wrath. I don't know if you understand, the whole 7 years is wrath. Someone say, oh, there's only the 3.5. No, the last 3.5 is God's wrath against the enemy. The first 3.5 years is Satan's wrath against humanity. God has not appointed you wrath. You understand? You have not been appointed for that time, but to escape. Now watch this. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that rather we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So God wants us to be awake, aware of what's going on. Okay, let's look at this. I'm going to get back to my notes. Okay. Whew. Here I go. You guys pray for me now because this is the part God said to teach. The first prophecy concerning the rapture is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, the scripture reads, and I'm going to read it. It says, then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the water. It says, let there be sky in the midst of the water. And let that sky divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Firmament just means the sky. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And so there was evening, there was morning, and as the scripture says. So, in this, God showed me. Did I tell you guys called me to do this? So that you guys, did I tell you God called me to do this?
Yes.
Look, he didn't call me like, I need you to build a big mega church. He said, I'm calling you to get my people ready because time's running out. Okay? Yeah. Prepare my people to leave. Okay?
Yeah.
So anytime you come here, I'm like either talking about living right or being prepared for leaving. Because it's my job.
Amen.
Now, when you read this in Genesis, and it says, let it divide, and then it says, let it divide between the heavens. So let it divide is 117, and between is a numerical value of 62, okay? So, you guys don't understand gematria. I do. I'm going to explain to you. Those letters are telling me something. Is there a chapter, the 117th chapter of the Bible? Is there a 117th chapter in the Bible?
Yeah.
Is there more than 117th chapter in the Bible? No. Where's that 117th chapter at?
Psalms.
So we go to Psalms. Let's go there. I'm going to take you guys through it. I want you to treat it like a roller coaster. We're going up now, okay? It's not that exciting going up, but. Okay, 117 says this. Now watch this. It's only two verses, and this is what it says. And it says, hallelujah, or praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. It says Gentiles. In the Hebrew, all you Gentile nations, extol him, all you people. For great is the for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Now, in Hebrew, that is 62 letters. Each Hebrew letter has a numerical value. So those 62 letters equal this, 2,294, okay? Which this number tells you the mystery is going to be revealed and you will know. 2,294, the Hebrew meaning is this, it's going to be revealed and you will know, okay? So, Psalms 117 does what? It divides the whole Bible. So, you got half the chapters on this side, half the chapters on that side, and you got Psalms 117 in the middle, which looks kind of like a Passover or a passing through, right? So, God divides the water and he makes sure he puts In the between all of the chapters of the Bible, he puts the scripture that says, I'm dividing the water. Understand? Back from Genesis, dividing the water, separating. So this was in the year 2017 for Psalms 117. So it was a very prophetic year for everyone. They were like, is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? But God put this number as those in Psalms 117 to be 2,294. Okay, go to Psalms 119, verse 88. Are you in Psalms 119? You're in verse 88?
Amen.
Okay, tell me this, if you're there. Does your Bible say for the beginning of chapter 8, verse 88, Lamed? Does it have a Hebrew letter? Or does it say Lamed?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
It's, Right. After 88, then you see the word lament. You should, right? That's a Hebrew letter. Okay? That's a Hebrew letter. You know what it means? Lamata. It means to go up. You see that? So that is a letter that means to go up. And then the letter that before that would be kaf, which is, if it's the end, you have to change the form of how it's written, and now it has to come down. So God has to come down and then take you up. Okay? So let's read those two letters. I mean those two verses. 88 says, quicken my life or preserve my life, and is used the word Hebrew word quicken, which means give me eternal life or resurrected life. Quicken my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Okay, that's the last letter of kaf, God coming down. Lamed, going up. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in heaven. To get to heaven, you have to do what? Go up. So it has one verse, 88, that says, quicken me, give me eternal life. The second verse says, and take me up, your word is established in heaven. Okay? Now, those two verses, the only two other verses that have the same numerical value as 2294, which means what? It's going to be revealed and you will know. Okay? So now, this number becomes very important, okay? And now we're going to go to Psalms 121. Let's go to Psalms 121. Thank you, Father. If they fall asleep, it's not my fault. Hallelujah. Okay, now you see Psalms 121?
Yes.
It begins by saying a psalm of ascent. You see that where it says that? In your Bible, the Psalm of Ascent. Those Psalms of Ascent begin in Psalms 121. Okay? So it'll say a Psalm of Ascent. And then, so for the next 15 chapters of Psalms, they will be called Psalms of Ascent. Okay? So this Psalm of Ascent, there's 15 of them. But there's only one that uses the letter lamed, which means time to go up. Which means this is a verb, and this is meaning it's time to go up, okay? So this lamed is only placed in one Psalm of Ascent, and it's in 121, which stands for the year 2021, which for the Israelites, their year begins in September. So in 2021 of September, 5782 began, and this coming year in September, 5782 will end. But the word, but the action that is taking place here is lamata, which means the year to ascend. The rest of the Psalms of Ascent say the year of ascent, this year of ascent. But then you get just one that says this is the year to ascend. And so, and that's for the year 2022, okay, which is 5782. But it's also for 2021, because remember, they go September to September. So in 2021, it started in September, and it ends in 2022 of September, which is 5782. So God is saying now, 5782 is what? 22, okay? Wheat harvest is what? Wheat is what? 22. Okay? Tribulation is what? 22. Okay? So God is like, I'm trying to show you so that clearly, so you understand, like I'm making things plain for them, but they want to fall asleep because it seems like things are getting back to normal. So,
Amen.
So as you read this, it says the Psalm of Ascent, and this Psalm is talking about going up. It has a numerical value of this. Look, 2220. Okay? Now, For some people don't understand Hebrew, 222 is the voice of God. Okay? 2220 is the ultimate voice of God. 222 is the chariot. 2220 is the ultimate chariot ride. You understand? So, and this is the pattern of the Hebrew, and this is why Elohim Tagili Lamed Ivrit, Lamed Hakol Devarim Atayakol Lamed Al Ivrit. Learn everything you have to learn about Hebrew, because only way you're going to understand my book is to understand my language and my culture and how I did things. You understand?
Yes.
So I'm trying to let you know, look, God is showing me. Now, 148 is Passover. You know what Passover is? But who's the Passover? 1480 is Christ. You see that? 7-1 is dove. But 7-1-0 is Holy Spirit. So God is always like, when I'm talking about the ultimate thing, I'm talking about adding 10 to it and putting a zero at the end, and then you'll know what I'm really talking about, okay? We could sit here and do that all day with scripture, and God will show you. 7-3 is wisdom, but 7-3-0 is insight and perception. So you can't have any wisdom if you don't have any insight and perception.
Wow.
You understand? So God is always showing you that when I add a zero to the end, this is the ultimate of that thing. So 222 is the voice of God. And 222 exists in Exodus chapter 19, verse 19, when he says, do not come up to the mountain until you hear the trumpet blow. And then it says the trumpet began to blow and the people were heading up to the mountain, and it got louder and it got louder and it got louder, and the earthquake. And then it says, then the voice of God spoke, the 222 spoke. And then Israel married God. But God says, that's just 222. There's going to be a real one going to happen later. And that's going to be 2220, which is the ultimate voice of God. Because John says, I heard a voice like a trumpet, say what? Come up here. That's the ultimate voice. And he said, immediately I was in the spirit and I saw someone sitting on the throne. So God is trying to get us prepared for this. Now, I gave you those two numbers because I have to get back to this. Okay. Oh. I'm gonna tell you what page to go to first, okay? So I hope, yeah, Pastor Ben got page numbers on there. I love that guy. He's the best. Okay, go to page 5. Go to page 5. Go to page 5. When you get to page 5, say, I'm there, Professor. Because I feel like this is school today. You guys there?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise his name. Okay, you see down where it says total 2701?
Yes.
It's 37 times 73. Okay, you see Bereshit is the first word that's in the beginning. Bara is the second word that is created. Elohim is the third word, 86. Et, which is the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. And then it's Hashamaim, the heavens. Then Va'et, then Ha'aretz, which is the earth, and the earth. So God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First verse of the Bible, but what is God going to do? I'm going to tell you the end and the beginning. How you gonna do that? How you gonna take one sentence and tell me everything you're gonna do in history to the end, all the way with one verse? How you gonna do that? Well, first I'm gonna write Bereshit. And in the word Bereshit, if you separate all the letters in Bereshit, you know what you come up with? The sun on a tree with thorns on his head, the gift of God to man. That's from just one word, Bereshit, okay? So God told you this plan, how he's going to bring you salvation as soon as he said Bereshit, okay? So God is telling you his plan in the beginning, okay? Now, oh, remember I told you add a zero to it and it'll give you the power of what it is? Okay. Go up and you'll see where it says 111 equals 37 times 37. You see that? 37 is what? The Trinity and the perfection of God, right? So 111, you know what 111 is? It's wonderful. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful. That's Pele. Okay? You know what Pele is? Beyond your understanding. Because Samson's parents says, what should we tell people when we say we met you? And he says, why are you asking me my name since it's Pele? It's beyond your understanding. And God says, unto the world a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful. 111. But look, 111 we know is beyond your understanding, but if I add a zero to it, it's 1110. And guess what that means? The blood of Jesus. Said it's beyond your understanding. You can't figure out how one man's blood cured the whole world's sin. It's beyond your understanding. So the zero always added is going to give you the ultimate of what the word is, okay? So now you have these words. Now you see, you have the first word, Bereshit, is what? 913. The second one is 203. The third is 86. That's Elohim. So you got all these numbers. Now this is what God does. And because God is a Trinity, and perfection of God, he's 3 and 7. So God makes everything in the Bible perfectly multiplied by 37. Is that possible? If you God, but imagine writing, but at the same time saying, but everything has to be multiples of 37. I don't even know how to do multiples of 2. What do you mean 37? That's an odd number to be said. Everything has to be multiplied perfectly by 37. It's like, how do you do that? So God does this. He starts multiplying. And now, so I want you to go back to the front page, and I'm going to show you what God showed me. Okay? With Genesis chapter 1, he took all of those numbers, and you can see the numbers are right under where it says value of composition. You have Bereshit, 913, then 203, then 86. Okay, he takes all those numbers and he interchanges them. Like, let's play a game. How many of these numbers can you match, but they have to be multiplied by 37? That's what God does with Genesis. Like all the numbers, no matter where you match them, they have to be perfectly times Trinity plus perfection of God, 37. Okay? So this is what God does. When he finishes, when God finishes doing this, you see it says there's one, here's two of them in the front, right? You see that? Okay, because 37 times 8 equals 296. You see that? So the M is for the multiplication of 37 is 296. The multiplication of 11 times 407, okay? So 11 times 37 equals 407. Let's go to the next page. 19 times 37 equals 703. You see that? So God, he's mixing words, and he's like, they all have to equal the Trinity and the spiritual perfection. So when you get to the bottom, how many of these are there? Go all the way down to the bottom. See on your right side, there's 23. But actually, there's only 22 because there's 22 Hebrew letters because two of them are 999. Two of his mix and matches are 999. Okay? Go to the one that says in the 21st one. Okay? Go to the 21st time he does this. Okay? What's the numerical value of 62 times 37? Huh? 2294. Okay? So as God is multiplying this, he says, oh, by the way, and look, it's 62 times 37. How many letters are in Psalms 117? Let their divide between is 62. 62 letters give you 2294. 62 times the perfect trinity of God is 2294. But God put this in the beginning in Genesis so that you know and understand that one day it's going to be revealed and you will know. He says what? 2294. And when? He puts it in 21. And where? 121. The year of the time it will happen. Let's go up to the 19th time and you'll see the numerical value 2220. 60 times 2220. You see that? So 60 times 37 is 2220. Why is that important? That's the ultimate chariot ride. God put it in Genesis. God says the ultimate chariot ride is going to be 2220, but it's going to be 121. It's going to be 121, and you're going to hear 2220. So God is like, you can ignore the fact that wheat, and we're in the wheat harvest, is 22. You can ignore that 22 times in the Bible, it mentions the tribulation. You can ignore that it's 5782, which is 22. You can ignore that you had a worldwide pandemic. You can. But God said, you can't keep ignoring everything and staying asleep and not realizing that God is coming.
Amen.
Because he's making it and he's giving me more and more. He's like, I put 2220 in Genesis, in my equation of Genesis, times 3 and 7, times the Trinity and the great God, 3, 7, I put that in Genesis already as a numerical value. So 222 is already in Genesis telling you, you're gonna hear the ultimate voice of God. When? In 121, which is Psalms, which is the year what? 5782, okay? So, then he goes further down and he says, oh, by the way, remember those 62 letters that were in Psalms 117? 62 times the perfect trinity of God and the perfection of God is also 2294. It will be revealed and you will know. Okay? So in this chart, God is trying to show us something. Or God wanted me to see something. I told you the end in the beginning. I documented the end in the beginning. At this time, I'm going to do what I did in Genesis. Forget about Revelation. I'm going to do what I did in Genesis. When I separate these waters from this world, I'm going to take you up. But the scripture says, when Christ returns, we on white horses return with him. Riding behind Christ, he says he will return with all of his saints. So when you are the water that's taken above, the world will not see you again until what? The day of the flood of Noah. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Is that what Jesus says? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? We saw water come down from the clouds for the first time. It left and God took it up. But it never rained and we never saw it again until God said judgment time and Christ returns and he brings the water with him.
Yes. Amen. 10 minutes past the second.
So I'm trying to explain to you guys, look, I know it's, this is not what you grew up with. It certainly ain't what I grew up with. Because there ain't nobody playing the drums and there's no snot flying and nothing and I ain't dancing. This is not entertainment time. This is time to get God's people ready.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
The Lord instructed me to do this, so I need us to go to Hebrews chapter 10. God is awesome. I hope you guys understood that, by the way. I put all the other stuff on there so you can see all the other 37 times and what they say, okay? So you can see God. Now, that's just a drop in the bucket of them. I couldn't put it all there. Pastor Ben had to print out a whole book. But God made sure, look, whether it's Greek or Hebrew, it has to be separated by, it has to be perfectly multiplied by 37. Okay?
What are we reading, Pastor Ben?
I'm in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm trying to do this in the 10 minutes or 9 minutes I still have left. It says, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they have stopped? It said, would they have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are animal reminders of sin, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin.
Amen.
So before, what did they have to do in the law? They had to sacrifice an animal. If you sinned against your brother and you said, well, I've sinned against my brother, I'm going to take a lamb to the temple, to the priest, and they're going to sacrifice the lamb so that I can be cured for my sins. So year after year, if you wanted cleansing from sin, an animal had to die. And God says that was the system before, but that's not a system that God wanted to continue forever. He wanted a system where one sacrifice can be made and that one sacrifice can cleanse all of mankind forever. And his name is going to be wonderful. And if you want to know the ultimate of it, it's the blood of Christ. Okay? So, it says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offering and sin offering, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. So God prepared a body, entered the body, and entered into humanity as the Savior of the world. To sacrifice his blood so no other animal can cleanse sin ever again. Okay? It's been done once and for all. Then it says here in verse 8, am I in verse 8? Yes. First he said, sacrifice and offer and burnt offering and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, I am, here I am, I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. So what did he do? He set aside the law to establish what? A new covenant with him.
Yes.
And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You hear that?
Yeah.
I want to remind you something. God says, burnt offerings, he was not pleased with it. You know why? Because if you sinned, you had to bring burnt offering. So God doesn't want you to always have to bring a sin offering. You understand? This goes for now today too. God doesn't, how would you like a friend that always got to apologize? Every day they did something else. I stole your tires. Sorry. Sorry, that $5 that was in your wallet, I stole it. Sorry. You be like, you know what? Your sorries, I'm getting tired of.
Right.
We have to do something. Okay? So God is not pleased with burnt offerings. He doesn't want your burnt offerings. Now we take burnt offerings to God, but we take those burnt offerings to God as the lip, as fruit from our lips.
Yeah.
We say, I repent in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That's your burnt offering.
Yeah.
You understand? Because that blood already sacrificed. So if we sin, he says, if you sin, you can confess and God will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this is the gift from God to humanity, is that even though you're still in a sinful body, if you make another mistake, you can still come and repent.
Yes.
Okay? And the blood, it will sure cleanse you and from all unrighteousness again. Then you go back and get back to work. You understand?
Yes. Amen.
Here we go. You set aside the first. Okay. 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But when the priest had offered all for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are rejoiced.
Made whole.
Being made whole. You have to understand that. He is a sacrifice for those who are what?
Being
made whole. That means you're still in process. You know why? Because he wants to make sure you don't turn back. He wants to make sure that you're growing in righteousness, that you're growing in his word. He says, you're being sanctified. How many of us have less sin than when we did when we first came to Christ?
Amen.
That's the sanctification process. You understand?
Amen.
It's like, hey, I ain't heard you curse in a long time, saying, man, what's up with you? I'm being sanctified. Yeah, but you're still smoking weed. I'm being sanctified. You know what I mean? And in the next couple of months, you're like, hey, Pastor Sandy, I'm saying that you don't smoke weed no more. And you don't curse. Being sanctified.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a sanctification process. You don't go off and act crazy no more like you used to. Being sanctified.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because God is taking his word and cleansing the dirt out of the cup. You understand? Preparing you for what? The kingdom of God.
Yes.
So allow that process to happen.
Amen.
Here we go. It says in verse 15, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their heart and I will write them on their minds. And he adds, their sin and lawlessness and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where there these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, 1110, that's wonderful. You can enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is the body of Christ. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with what?
A sincere heart.
With a sincere heart. That means I'm being honest. You understand? I'm being honest with God. I'm not playing church. I'm trying to grow. You understand? With a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly. It's all about Jesus today. It was all about Jesus yesterday. It'll be all about Jesus tomorrow. I'm holding on to my confession with Christ without swerving. You understand? This is supposed to be walked out. You understand? And once somebody tells you that all you need is the right hand of fellowship and go back to living the life you live, they're lying to you.
Yes.
And that lie doesn't come from him. That lie comes from a deeper place, which is Satan, because he wants company just like God wants company. You understand?
Amen.
And it says, 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the what?
The day approaching.
What is that? That word right there is so important. That word right there, the perusimo, that's 888. Until you see the Jesus approaching. Okay? Mm-hmm. That word is like, it sits there, and if you read it in English, it means nothing. But if you read it in the Greek, or if you read it in a Hebrew book, it says, until the amazing appearance of God appears. It says, to hold on to this faith until you see the parousia, the approaching, okay? And it says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God.
Yeah.
So I don't deliberately keep on sinning.
Right.
I might accidentally, you know, because kids get on your nerves. But I know one thing. I got this great privilege. Watch this. I'm a child of God. I have the right to repent and not go back into that behavior again. You understand? This is a perfect system. I'm like, because none of us are going to be perfect after we accept Christ. But we can all be sanctified and keep growing and keep growing. And as long as you're sanctifying yourself and you're continuously on a growth pattern, you're sincere with God. You're in a real relationship.
Amen.
Here we go. Full expectation. It says 29, says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as unholy the blood of the covenant that sanctifies him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? I'm saved by grace. What does that mean? Oh, I can sin as much as I want. God said, you insult the Spirit of grace. Yeah. When you say you saved by grace and by grace alone, why are you sinning? You have insulted the grace of God. And there remains no other sacrifice for you. So this is a race that once you get in it, you have to take it serious.
Amen.
And the scripture says, if you turn back, it'd be better to never know God than to get in a relationship and go back. That's the Bible speaking. Says it'd be better if you had never known me than to know and then go back. You understand? Because at least the world can claim ignorance. It says, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge. I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in great contest in the facing of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison, joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourself had a better lasting possession, which is heaven and Jesus. And it says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded.
Yes.
Here's your keys. It will be richly rewarded. It says you need to preserve, to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is parousio, the glory is coming, will come and not delay. But my righteous ones will live by faith. But if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Don't shrink back. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved, who continue believing and are saved.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the gospel.
Amen.
That's the gospel. If anybody tells you, oh, it's okay if you sin and you because you already, you go to church, girl, you already, no, I'm living in sin. I need, one of our members said, you know, I started watching and I was drinking at the time. And she said, I haven't drank for 2 years since I joined Just for Sin. And I was like, praise God.
Amen.
It was like a joy, like people get it. Like God wants you to be sanctified. You're in the process of be preparing for the kingdom. Sanctify yourself.
Yes.
Get rid of old stuff. And don't sit up there going, I'm not perfect, so I can't be a Christian. God didn't expect you to be perfect when you came in. He knew you were jacked up when he met you. He's just trying to sanctify you and get you ready. You understand? But I got a problem with this. I knew you would when I met you. Keep repenting, stay in your word, keep growing. You understand? This is Christianity, okay? Be sincere about it. Be sincere about it. I hope you guys understood the class, that math class. I gave you the notes so you can look at it. And then the Lord showed me how to finish. And so I've done my job. Praise God. Thank you guys for being here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.